All right, open your Bible, Psalm 34, verses 17 to 22. Psalm 34, verse 17 to 22. When you all found it, just yell amen. People are catching up there. A couple amen. A couple fast people. Brother Horman's like right on it. There's Brother Thomason. Man, amen. All right. Yes. Amen. Well, three people found it. Praise the Lord. All right, that's a blessing. All right. Psalm 34. There it is. All right. Psalm 34, 17 to 22. Ask you all of you to kindly stand in reading God's Word, Psalm 34, 17 and 22. It says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." And tonight I'm going to preach a simple message, an answer to the problem, an answer to the problems. Have a word of prayer. Father, I love you and thank you, Lord. Thank you again for your word. I thank you for your word that changes lives, Father. I thank you for salvation, Lord. I thank you for the soul that was saved this past Sunday morning. That was a blessing, Lord. God, I pray you bless preaching tonight, Lord. I pray you bless it. I pray, Lord, you use it as only you can. Holy Ghost, Lord, I pray be their preacher as he's traveling, be their other staff men. I think other folks in this membership here who are out traveling and still on their way back, Lord, I pray you bless them, be with them, Father. We love you and thank you, Lord. Be the special music, be the preaching. Also, we ask in your name. Amen. There's a husband and a wife, and they're married for a long time. They get to be about 60 years of age, and wife says, "Husband, is that we're at that age in our life we're really going to be better, keep better track of our what we eat, our diet. No more greasy foods, no more eating bacon, none of that stuff. We've got to get rid of all that stuff. Now it's diet food, bran muffins, yummy, and all the good things, and husband chagrins, like, all right, whatever, wife, you know. And so he agrees to it, and for the next 10 years, they eat healthy. I mean, just cardboard type stuff, you know. If there's no grease, it ain't good. And so for the next 10 years, they eat that type of stuff, and they live to be 70 years of age, and actually it's working. Their health's improving a little bit. So they're driving down to their summer home down in Florida, both 70 years of age, and wife falls asleep at the wheel. They run a four-way stop, and a truck driver hits them head-on, kills them instantly. And they wake up in heaven, and they're greeted at heaven by St. Peter at the pearly gates. And St. Peter says, come on, let me show you a new home. So they take him to their brand new mansion. He goes, hey, this is your brand new mansion. It has everything's gold here. There's golden bed, golden refrigerator, golden oranges, golden everything. And husband says, oh, how much does it cost? And St. Peter says, you don't understand. This is heaven. It's completely free. Oh, no way. This is wonderful. Praise the Lord. I'm so excited. And St. Peter says, you ain't seen nothing left. Let me take you to the golf course. Amen, Johnsons. So they go down to the golf course there, and they show that there's golden golf carts, golden golf clubs. You know, every time you hit a shot, it's a hole in one because you're in heaven. Praise the Lord. And the man says to St. Peter, well, how much are the green fees? St. Peter says, you don't understand. This is heaven. It's completely free. Oh, my goodness. This is crazy. This is amazing. Oh, praise the Lord, you know. And so finally they get back into the house, and St. Peter says, let me take you to the community kitchen. There's kind of like a clubhouse there where people can come and get a snack. And they go to the community kitchen. The first thing the man starts doing, he starts looking in the cupboards and the refrigerator. And St. Peter says, what are you doing, sir? And he goes, I'm looking for all the bran muffins and the bran flakes, all the diet stuff. And St. Peter says, you don't understand, this is heaven. You can eat all the greasy food you want. I mean, just drink a bucket of grease for all I care. You're never going to get hardened arteries. You're never going to die. You're going to live forever. And with that, the man goes berserk. He starts kicking things, throwing pots and pans, going crazy, just having a fit. It takes 20 minutes for St. Peter and the lady to finally calm the man down. After 20 minutes, they say, what is wrong? And that man looks at his wife and with his bony finger, he says, you, it wasn't for your bran muffins. I've been here 10 years ago. Amen. I had no berry of Christmas, but I want to just give it to you. Cut the ice there. So, amen. Psalm 34, verse 17, 20. My wife has heard that probably 30 times with all the churches we go to. And so, amen. So she no longer laughs at that joke. I don't know why, but amen. So it's good to be here. I just want to give a quick update. I appreciate all you guys praying for us as we're heading out. We're about 40% deputation support. So excited. We're going to bunch more churches, and then I can't believe how fast March 1st is going to be here. We head out, but thank you for all your prayers. I appreciate it. I can't tell you what that means to us, so thank you. All right, Psalm 34, 17 and 22. The book of Psalms, I love the book of Psalms. It's a great book. Really, the book of Psalms, for the most part, the whole entire book is almost a book of encouragement, if you think about it. Anywhere you open, you'll see the human pen, whether it's David or somebody else, talking about how good God is, how He blesses, how He brings them out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, how He just sets their feet upon a rock. I mean, you could almost pick any verse at random, point your finger on it in the book of Psalms, and it's usually a verse of encouragement. And I love that because, you know what, when I'm ever getting down, maybe getting discouraged, I'll go to the book of Psalms, and it encourages me. And I tell you what, I can do the same thing for you. So the book of the Bible is definitely a book of encouragement, especially the book of Psalms. Another thing about the Bible that I love is that it's practicality. It has the answers for basic questions of life. I remember when I first got saved, and the Lord led me to Heritage Baptist Church, a pastor Bish there in Wallingford, Connecticut. I remember he preached, and from God's Word, I remember when he just preached on simple things that can help me with the everyday challenges of life. I wasn't married yet, so I was learning what it was like to just keep track of a budget and maintain my money. And I remember how he preached on things, and just from the God's Word, I was able to do a budget and keep track of just budgeting my needs. And then, of course, I met Kelly, we got married, and then through the preaching of God's Word, I learned how to be a good husband, which I'm obviously failing at, praise the Lord, but I learned about how to be a good husband, and then, of course, when the kids came, I learned from preaching of God's Word, I learned practical things about how to be a good father. And I tell you what, folks, there are so many practical things in this Bible that can help us. Whatever you're going through, whatever challenge you have, whatever the situation going on in life, I tell you what, this Bible can help you. No matter what, I don't care if you are 8 years old or 88 years old or anything in between, this Bible will help you. It will change your life and has practical things to help you. Well, tonight, And actually, I'll tell you, before I go that far there, sometimes I feel like Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. I really do. Just sitting there trying to get something from him. And when we go to God's Word, we feel like we're at Mary sometimes, sitting at Jesus' feet. He'll be teaching to us something from his Word, and it helps change us. We go away from the church house. We go away from our devotions like we've learned something, like we've been a bit changed. And it's so helpful to us. And I tell you what, it helps me so much. Well, tonight, with God's help, I want to do both. I want to give you some encouragement, and I want to give you some practical things that I think can help you. I believe, I'll be honest with you, this message I'm going to give to you, God laid on my heart about a week ago. Just some things we were going through, nothing major, just some minor things, but it helped both encourage me and my wife, and it helped be just practical things to help me, and I kind of shared it with Kelly, and I believe it would help to her as well. But I kind of want to pass it on to you. I'm going to be more general in nature tonight. I'm not going to be more specific, but again, I want to be an encouragement to you, and also I want to kind of share something that can be practically helpful to you. First, for starters, I want to look at the encouraging side. Look at verse 17 of Psalms there, chapter 34. It says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles." When the Christian cries out, God hears them and he delivers them. I tell you what, folks, how many times have been a situation where you need help and you cry out to God, you spend time with the Lord, and he delivers you from all your troubles. It was encouraging to know that our prayers do not fall on deaf ears. You know, you may call someone. I remember we were at the bank yesterday, and a People's Bank, and the system was down. I mean, nothing was working, and computers are a necessary evil. They really are. And I was trying to find out a balance for something, and they couldn't tell me nothing. They couldn't tell me anything. For all I knew, someone was robbing my account. They couldn't tell me that either. The banks were down, and I tell you, it was kind of frustrating that they could not help me. But when you talk to the Lord, your prayers never fall on deaf ears, ever, not one time. I remember hearing a story about a brother who lost a job for a while, and there were many dark days for that brother. But I tell you what, there was encouragement to know that that brother, his prayers never fell on deaf ears, and also God delivered him out of his problems he was going through. So I tell you what, that verse 17 is an encouragement. Look at verse 18. It says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." He draws close to them that are brokenhearted. Preacher mentioned for sure for the announcements. Zach Hood's father passed away, George Hood, and that was a few days before Christmas. We mentioned about this man who took his life, his family's mourning their loss. I tell you what, for those folks, God is drawing nigh to them. They have a broken heart tonight. What an encouragement it is. I know no one would want to be in that situation. But if you ever get in a dark situation where your heart is broken, God is right there with you. He's drawing nigh to you. That's encouraging, folks. Listen, broken hearts are good. That's a fact of life, unfortunately. We're going to get broken hearts. We're going to have situations come where we're going to be broken down, downtrodden. We need the Lord. And I tell you what, that can help us. Because that tells us he draws nigh to us. These are practical things. This is God talking from his Word. And that helps me. Listen, people can say anything they want, but God tells us he's drawing nigh to them that are of a broken heart. And that will help us one day when we have, unfortunately, are in that situation. Hopefully not, but it might be that case. Look at verse 22, another encouraging verse to look at. "The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." Let me ask you, are you saved tonight? Do you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I just mentioned, if you were here Sunday morning, you saw that young adult lady who got saved here on Sunday morning. I'm probably going to tell the story wrong here. I'm sure preacher mentioned it Sunday night, but someone witnessed to a man. He got saved, I think it was Brother Caleb, and then he's at work. And another coworker sees this man and says, "I want what that man has. He used to be cussing, now he's singing all the time. He used to be in a bad mood, now he's in a good mood." And that coworker talks to Brother Caleb and says, "I want to be saved." And he gets saved. He comes to church on Sunday. He brings his wife. At the end of the service, she's in the back and she's trying to get out. And she comes out and she comes forward and she gets saved. Man, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. It says, hey, "The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." If you're saved, you won't see the desolation of hell. You'll never see it. What an encouragement that is. Man, I tell you what, if nothing else, if you, God forbid, you lose everything materialistically speaking in this world, you can never lose heaven. Ever. And I love the Christmas time because they sing the songs about Jesus Christ and the places, I think a place like Target and places like that promote these liberal things, hey, they're playing Silent Night in their loudspeakers during Christmas time. And sometimes you'll hear the name of Jesus being played over the loudspeakers. They don't realize what they're playing. But man, Jesus Christ is going over the loudspeakers in these liberal places. Man, praise the Lord. There's something about the name of Jesus. Are you saved tonight? If you know you're saved, you'll never be desolate. You'll never see hell. Praise the Lord. And He redeemeth the soul of His servants. None of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. That is a blessing. That's encouraging to know. So do you know for sure you're going to heaven? That's probably one of the greatest encouragements you could have, is knowing for sure you're going to heaven. Now, I kind of showed you some encouraging things tonight. Let's look at the other side, the practical things. I'm going to spend the remainder of my time on the practical side of these verses. Let me kind of focus on one verse. Go to Psalm 34, verse 19. Psalm 34, verse 19. It says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." That word afflictions, you can see there, means evil, misery, unpleasantness, or trials, or tribulations. And if I can give it just a simple one-word kind of synonym, so to speak, I would call it just a problem, if you will. Many afflictions or even many problems. Basically, it means problems. And if there were there in that verse, about a week ago, I was dealing with some things, and this verse was a blessing to me. And one of those words in that verse, when I saw it, made a world of difference to me. There was one word that really helped me. Now, Pastor Bishop was so good at this in Connecticut. He always let us on suspense. He'd always say, "There's two words in this verse that will change your life. It will turn your poverty to riches." I'm sitting on the edge of my seat saying, "Tell me the word! Tell me the word!" And there was one word, I tell you folks, that was an encouragement to me. It was a real help to me. In this verse is the first word, many. The first word, many. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. You're probably saying, "Brother Jason, you said this is encouraging, right?" Well, bear with me. I promise you this will be an encouragement to you. See, not only are you, the righteous Christian, going to have problems, but you're going to have a lot of problems. Just bear with me if you would. Because it says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." We're going to have a lot of problems, folks. In our life, things are going to happen. Problems are going to come. The dishwasher is going to break, especially when you have 50 people coming over for Christmas dinner. The washing machine is going to go out, and you got to wear clothes that you don't want to wear to church. You know, the car is going to break down in the middle of Minnesota visiting Brother Caleb, and you have no one around to jump you. You know how that goes. And we're all going to have problems. Problems are going to come. So how is me understanding that a lot of problems are going to come my way, how is it going to help me, Brother Jason? How is it going to help me knowing that many are the afflictions of the righteous? Because if you understand that problems are going to come, if you understand that there are bumps in the road, it will help to keep you from going off the road. If you understand, listen folks, if you understand there's going to be problems, you'll understand, so to speak, you'll know what's going to happen in life. You'll know problems are going to come, and they are going to come. But the second half of the verse is God delivers us, the Bible says, from those problems. But listen folks, we're going to have problems. Listen, God told us problems would come. So I'm not going to stop doing my devotions. I'm not going to stop being a Christian. I'm not going to stop serving God because God said many are the afflictions. Hey, He's saying, child of God, you're going to have problems. Problems are going to come in your life. But that does not give us an excuse to stop serving. It doesn't give us an excuse to stop reading our devotions. It doesn't give us an excuse to stop praying. I remember when Kelly and I were talking about some things going on, and again, nothing major, just some things between things that were going on, things we're dealing with, And I remember, I was thinking, you know, I was kind of a woe-was-me attitude, having, you know, a pity party there for a little while. And then I read that verse in my devotions that morning after, and I saw many afflictions, and it kind of hit me. The light bulb went on. You know, God, He said there's going to be problems, and this is another problem. And He also said you're going to deliver me from that problem. Amen. See, it kind of gives us a reality check, if you will. I remember when I was a kid, I'm going to guess, I want to say 6 or 7 years old, our basement flooded in a house in New Jersey. Dad was at work. I think Mom called Dad, and she called and said, "Dad, Joe," they said, "there is a problem with our basement. There's water in the basement." And he came home, and we had to get some money and get a sump pump in there, and the basement was dry. And when I bought my house here in Bradley, my dad said, "Listen, son, you're buying a house with a basement. I'm telling you right now, there's going to be water in your basement. I'm telling you." And so I went down there, and there wasn't water. And sure enough, one winter, we had a little trickle, maybe an 36th of an inch high, like this wide, a little stream, pretty much that long. That's pretty much all it was. But there was water in the basement. Sure enough, was. And the point I'm trying to make was, hey, my dad prepared me. Tell me, listen, there's going to be water. So I was prepared for it. I was ready for it. I knew how to handle it. And I was able to get things situated, so I was able to get rid of that water in the basement. But the point I'm trying to make is, folks, when you know problems are going to come, it's not going to throw you off your path. It's not going to make you stop serving God. You know, it's very discouraging. You see someone, they get saved, they got on fire for God, they'll come to church, they'll start growing. Maybe you'll meet them at soul winning, they'll get saved, they'll start coming to church, and they'll get into discipleship program, the newcomers class upstairs with Brother Caleb. They'll start growing in the Lord. You get excited what's going on, and a problem comes their way. Maybe, God forbid, a divorce happens in their life. Maybe a family member dies. Maybe they have to work, they lose their job and have to work three extra jobs. Or something happens, a problem occurs. And if they're not careful, it's very easy for these baby Christians to get discouraged and get out of church. Unfortunately, I've seen it happen before. Why? Because they let the problem take advantage of them. Because some people have this thinking, well, if I'm a Christian, there's no problems ever. Well, when we get to heaven, there'll be no problems ever. But God is so good, He kind of gives us upfront, listen, child of God, there's going to be problems in your life. Just be prepared for them. And He will take care of you through those problems. But again, doesn't it give us an excuse to stop doing what we know to do as Christians? Now, it doesn't mean that you stick your head in the sand either and do nothing about it. Of course, you want to do everything in your power to fix the problem or avoid the problem. You know, we want to be excited. Man, having a problem today! I won't do anything like that. But I tell you what, we're all going to have problems in life. I remember, like, if someone has a problem, they lose a job, they fill out a job application, they update the resume, they try to get as many leads as they can to avoid to fix the problem of not having a job. But when the problem still remains, they've done everything they know to do. They still don't have a job. They've, humanly speaking, done everything in their power to get a job, and they still don't have one. They can go to that verse, and God said, listen, I'm going to have a lot of problems, but He's going to deliver me from that problem. He's going to take care of the situation, and that will be a help and a blessing to that person. Because the second half of that verse says, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Man, that's a blessing, folks. Because you know why? That's practical. Because every single person in this room is going to have a problem. Every single person is going to have an affliction. Some are worse than others. Some last longer than others. And we don't know when God's going to fix our problems, but He will fix our problems in His time. And we just got to trust Him for it. I know me personally, I got a house to sell. And that's a problem because we're moving away to Quincy March 1st. And if it doesn't sell by the time March 1st comes, we're going to have a bigger problem, praise the Lord. But you know what? I'm trusting the Lord for it. And I'm doing everything I can to sell the house, dropping the price, trying to tell everybody about it, maybe getting away money to come buy my house, inviting people in, tricking people to buy my house. You know, here's a mansion over there. No, you're buying this house. Anyway, but we're doing everything in our power to do everything we can. But you know what? I'm trusting the Lord for it. Because He said problems are going to come, and that's a problem. But I know He's going to deliver me from that problem in His time. Now, I'm not sticking my head in the sand. I'm doing everything I can to take care of the problem. But I'm trusting God for it, because I know He prepared me for that situation. And that shouldn't shake my faith and say, oh, wait, you should stop going to Quincy because your house didn't sell. No, God called me to Quincy, so we're going to go to Quincy. And no, maybe the problem isn't resolved, and maybe it won't be fixed in my time, but I know He's going to take care of it in His. So I just got to trust Him for it. How about you, folks? Listen, we've all been there. You've all had a situation where something came up. And you know what I'm talking about. We all, especially men, we draw everything out two years in advance. I mean, I know what's going on 2 months from now. I have everything scheduled out. Of course, nothing usually follows the schedule, but I have everything scheduled out anyway. And you know how it is. We'll have a problem arise. Oh yeah, I'll have this money in the savings account will take care of the problem financially. Or I have this many days off work. I can do this to take care of the problem. But it never usually works out the way you want it to, does it? Usually the money runs out, or the problem's bigger than you thought, or it takes longer than you want. But in the end, does the problem get solved? Yes, it does. God takes care of it every time. He takes care of it all the time. So verse 19 is not a discouragement, but an encouragement, because God's telling me the reality of life. He also tells me deliverance will come. No need to quit church. No need to stop doing right, because God is in control. And if He's the one who can deliver me from my problems, I mean, I'm going to do everything I can to do right and stay right, because I know He's in control of my life. He's in control of my destiny. He's in control of your life. He's in control of our future. He knows what's going on in our life, folks. And He's the one that can solve our problems. He's the one that can take care of a situation. Now, let me point out one more thing, the last point I want to focus on tonight. Look in verse 19. This also helped me tremendously. This verse, there's some verses which really stick out. And you've been there. You get a devotion and God just brings something out. It almost sticks out like 35-point font. It feels like it's sticking out of the page like 3D, like we're in 3D glasses. This verse is one of those verses. Look again at verse 19, what God said. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. That word righteous is not a singular word, but a plural word. Look, folks, the point I'm trying to make is, you're not alone. Someone else has been down the road before. Someone else has had the problem you had. I mentioned about a brother here who lost his job, and he was out of job work for a year. And I saw that brother, and I said, "Brother, you know, if someone else ever lost their job and they happen to talk to you, you can be an encouragement to them because you are where you were." I'm going to say this wrong. You were where they are now. Hopefully, follow me there. You were where they are now. They're going through the time of unemployment. They don't have a job. Well, you were there a year ago, and God got you through it. And you can help them. Look, at many are afflictions of the righteous. It doesn't say many are afflictions of the person. But it's plural. Hey, folks, you ever been in a situation before where something's going on, you're falling apart? I remember when we were in Connecticut, Wallingford, Connecticut, Kelly and I, remember that, and we were so, I just got laid off from working at the consulting company in Connecticut. I know I use this illustration all the time, but it's really a strong illustration. It always hits me all the time. And the brother Jonathan Reimers was there, and brother Reimers was in the church about to go soul winning. I said, "Brother Reimers, man, I lost my job. I mean, I'm supposed to go to Bible college. I don't know. My Kelly's pregnant. You know, we have a whole bunch of things going on. How is this going to work?" I was just a little flustered. And he said, "Man, God's going to take care of it. He took care of me. He's going to take care of you." Imagine meant the whole world. Why? Because someone else went through it. I'm seeing someone else that made it through. God took care of him, and surely he can take care of me. He's not a respecter of persons, last time I checked. God does not play favorites. If he takes care of someone else, surely he can take care of you. It might not happen the same exact way it happened to the person before you, but you know God's in control. He'll take care of you. And when you see someone else, a brother or sister who's been down that road, man, it's an encouragement. And let me just say this. If you can be an encouragement to someone else, the best way you can do it is if someone has them talk to you, tell you a situation, you can say, "Man, I've been down that road. And God delivered me. I've been down there before. I dealt with a cancer. I dealt with the financial problems. I dealt with the loss of a loved one. It hurts. It stings. It's a tough thing. But God took care of me. And He can take care of you. He surely can. Many are the afflictions of the righteous." Not a singular, but a plural word. And let me take it one step further. Someone else had the same problem or trial you're going through, and God delivered them. That person was Jesus Christ. He's the one that helped us. He's the one that took care of our problems. He's the one that he's been down the road. He felt the infirmities. He felt what we're going through. He's been there. Hey, next time you pray to Jesus Christ and you spend time in your devotions and you tell him the problem you're going through, he's not going to say, "I have no idea what you're talking about." He says, "I've been down that road, child of God. I know what it's like to be beaten. I know what it's like to have people turn their back on me. I know what it's like to feel the pain. I know what it's like to feel that people sin them, put on my shoulders on their behalf. I know what that's like." He'll be there for you. And I tell you what, folks, what a blessing is knowing that Jesus Christ has been down that road. But I tell you what a blessing that verse was, knowing that many of the righteous, that's a plural word, and people have been through it before, what a help they can be to each other, knowing He's took care of other people, and surely He can take care of you. And let me just say in closing, the person that helped me was a man named Dan Baker. He was a pastor over there in Iowa. Mediapolis, Iowa. I remember I was at a junior camp. It was probably two junior camps ago, this past summer. We were down there, and this wasn't even on my mind, the thought of selling a house in terms of trying to get rid of a household situation. But he was telling me how he was going to be pastoring a church. When he first started pastoring, I think 15, 20 years ago, he went down to Alabama to pastor a church for a while. And he moved from Iowa down to Alabama. He had a condominium to sell. And I remember specifically Brother Baker telling me this story. He said, "Brother Jason," and again, I had no idea this was going to happen to me. He just told me this. He said, "Brother Jason, I was up in there in Iowa. They called me down to Alabama to preach. I took the church. I was thinking my house would sell right away. It never sold. It didn't sell like I wanted. And for a little while, it stayed unsold. But," he said, "God took care of it every step of the way. Now, I did everything I could to make sure I paid it off. I lowered the price. I did everything I could. But in the end, God took care of me." And I was thinking about this a little while ago. Why did God use Brother Baker to tell me this story? Back then, it didn't make no sense to me. Today, it makes all the sense in the world. Amen. Look at folks. God's going to use people. He's going to use situations. He's going to use the Word of God to bring things across your mind to help you. Because why? We're all going to have problems. We're all going to have afflictions, and there are many. But the thing is, people have been there before. But again, let me just say, God will deliver us from them all. He's the one that takes care of our situations. He's the one that knows what we're talking about. He knows what's going on in our life, and He can help us for sure. So in closing, let me just say that we're all going to have problems. That's going to come. Realizing that will help you to see it through. As so, realizing that deliverance is coming as well. It will come in His time. You've got to trust Him. And understand that you're not alone, folks. We're not alone. Because other people have been down that road, especially Jesus Christ. So let me just say, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. There really is. Hey, we all have a problem we're going through today. Someone has something going on. Maybe all of us do. I don't know the situations of everyone in this room. But maybe someone in this room has a huge problem they're struggling with. Something they're battling with. Let me tell you something. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Because many are the afflictions of the righteous, but deliverance is going to come. God said it would, and that should be a help and a blessing to us. Let me ask you all about your head in prayer as we close tonight. If I can just give a brief invitation here tonight. If I can ask you, if something that was said in the message was a help to you this evening, say, Bro Jason, that was a help to me, that encouraged me, I'm going through some situations going on, and it helped me, that encouraged me, would you just kindly raise your hand? Amen. Hands all over the room. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good in Christmas time. He's good in summertime. He's good all year round. Praise the Lord. I know this wasn't a salvation message, but anybody say, Brother Jason, I died today. I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. I died today. I don't know for sure I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? I am not saved. Okay. Anybody here, if you need to be baptized, Brother Jason, I'm not saved. If you need to be baptized, would you raise your hand? All right. Would you all stand? If the Lord's spoken in your heart, the music plays, why don't you come?